fighting for America.
Russia continues to isolate itself by their actions. They're dangerous, they're provocative, they're irresponsible. This needs to stop.
Fighting for Idaho.
Of all the incredible moments of our trips to Africa, one of the most memorable was being able to bring Michelle and later our little girls to my father's hometown in Kenya.
Fighting for you.
If an illegal immigrant kills an American citizen, we're lucky to get that information out of the police.
No, what we need to do is to crack down on the employers that hire the illegals. They're the ones that enable them to stay here and take American jobs.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, good morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. On Facebook, on Twitter, as we start the day, let's go to the phones first and talk about economic development and smoking. He's never at a loss for words. We'll call him the mad marketer, if you will, Garden City Mayor John Evans. Mayor Evans, good morning.
Good morning.
And the reason why I call you the mad marketer is you're always marketing, you're always working, always trying to stay competitive in between that Boise and Meridian, sir.
That's correct. You got to keep your shoulder to the plow.
Heck yeah. I tell you, you've got the traditional power and the rising one there in the Treasure Valley. Let's talk a little bit about smoking. What's the latest with the smoking ban? I know there are people going back and forth, and you can't smoke, you can't smoke. I'm confused.
Well, basically, the original ordinance would have banned smoking in a fashion similar to Boise's ban, which is basically everything indoors. When the ordinance came before the council, I held a public hearing, and after testimony, the council created some exceptions to a Boise-type smoking ban that included exceptions for bars and bingo establishments. And it reclassified smoking establishments in the same category as a traditional bar, which would prohibit anyone under 21 from entering. There's a three-reading process to get an ordinance on the books over three successive meetings. And after the first reading, these amendments were added. It went to a second reading. And it was my hope that the council would go, gee whiz, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. Can't find anybody that supports it because, of course, Smoke-Free Idaho had pulled out by then. But they went ahead over the objection of one council member, went ahead and had it read a second time, which was sending it to the third reading, which would be the final reading. So I just exercised my power that I have to over the agenda, and I pulled it from the agenda for the third reading. And although the council had the power to overrule me and put it back on a future agenda, they didn't do that. So the ordinance isn't tabled. It's dead.
Well, here's the skinny that I have. We had a lot of controversy involving this ordinance in Boise. We had our friend Tom Munns, who went back and forth with the city council on the constitution and everything. I was wondering, and look, the health impacts of smoking, we all know that it's bad for you, but the business impacts, I mean, Garden City, the businesses there, didn't they all benefit because all the people that got banned from smoking in the bars from Boise went to Garden City?
Well, that's true to a point. Smoking didn't have as much to do with my decision as just operating in a society where we continued to try to regulate more and more activities. Regarding health benefits, drinking too much Coke, being in the sun too much, having too many fast food meals. I mean, we can go on and on and on if we're going to talk about activities that create a health impact.
Look, I resemble about three or four of those things that you already mentioned. Thanks.
Well, I understand that, but, it's legal to smoke when you're 18. You can vote. You can join the military and fight for this country, and I'm not going to tell you you can't go in a smoking establishment and smoke if you choose. That's not my decision to make. I don't believe the city should be making it, and that's why I took the stand I did.
So it's dead, so Any chance that we'll see something else come up, or is it dead as a doornail?
Well, according to the statements the council made, one council member, Council Member Higgins, declared in an open meeting that she intends to bring back a full ban in a year or so. Another council member indicated that she thought a total smoking ban was inevitable. I think I'm not sure I agree with that. I think people can vote, so to speak, on smoking with their feet. I mean, these are establishments that you don't have to go into to conduct your normal daily business. You make a decision if you want to go into a bar where smoking's allowed, or if you want to go play bingo with people that smoke. You're not forced to do that. You're not involuntarily subjected to secondhand smoke. So, we're inundated with enough regulation now. Let's leave these folks alone. Let them make a living.
Yeah, I mean, look, we are adults here, allegedly.
Well, I've heard arguments we have high school age now includes some 18-year-olds. One council member brought up, I presume it's has a basis in fact, that parents are holding their kids out of school an extra year, starting them a little later so that, you could be a junior or senior in high school and be 18, and they don't have any business in a smoking bar. Well, I'm not their parents, and,
right.
And
they don't want to be their parents, 18. Right.
I think we got to hold the line where we can on what I call the Michael Bloomberg-ish tendencies.
Even in Idaho.
Even in Idaho. I'm sounding pretty hardcore here, but those that want the ban are well-intended. So I'm not challenging the Heart Association or the Lung Association or Smoke Free Idaho. They know that smoking has significant health impacts, and they want to protect folks. But there's a personal responsibility component to this. I think they're wonderful education advocates, and I think we're seeing the benefits of that education because, fewer and fewer people, I think, are smoking now. I think you know what you're doing, at least, when you light up. I think we educate and we let people make those decisions. If we're going to attack something that really has an impact on innocent bystanders, then, as mayor, I see the impact of drugs and alcohol where innocent people are subjected to all kinds of negative things. So on that scale, smoking in a hookah bar somewhere doesn't measure up to the same level.
Well, I can't even spell hookah. Anyway, Garden City Mayor John Evans with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's talk about my favorite topic, and that's jobs and economic development. We hear a lot about this area growing, people building homes. What about Garden City? How are you all doing?
We're doing well. We're seeing, we've got a major new assisted living center that will be online by the end of the year, which is a big deal for our little town. We're seeing apartment construction starting. We're working through our urban renewal agency particularly and through our utility base to get our infrastructure, continue to get it up to speed. You can't build construction and economic development doesn't start at ground level. It starts below the ground. So upsizing water lines so you can meet fire flows to get permits and those sorts of things. We're spending a lot of our resources getting our infrastructure in a condition so the private sector can come in and make the investment to improve our town.
Well, when we take a look at economic development, of course, always attracting businesses. How are you doing in that regard?
Well, we're trying to be as friendly as the regulations allow us to be. Of course, we're governed by a lot of higher regulations, but having a client-based attitude with our staff, having meetings ahead of, if you got an idea that you want to do something in Garden City, staff will sit down with you, we'll brainstorm it with you, we'll bring the players in that that regulate the various things, and do whatever we can to assist you in making a decision to come and play in our town. We'd love to have those folks.
What about economic in the economy in general, Mayor Evans, when we're taking a look at the economy? Do you believe that the economy is rebounding?
Well, segments of it are. I think one of the issues we look at, we have this kind of a misconstrued view of the inflation rate, in my view, because they don't really look at some of the things that are going up. But look at your grocery bill sometime. Look at what you're paying for eggs and milk and butter and those sorts of things. So I think we're seeing a pent-up demand that's sparking our housing right now. My other job, I'm in the residential development business in Canyon County.
Well, I would be worried about, let me jump into you about that here at 580KIDO, Mayor Evans, because, you know, you went through the housing issues, and especially in Canyon County where you had homes valued at $140,000 dropped to $70,000. Now we're seeing homes once again being built in Ada and Canyon County. Are we concerned about we're building too much too fast, or your thoughts being in that business?
Well, I'm taking a very measured approach, so I don't get out too far. But, you know, that the pendulum's only in the center for a moment in time. And the rest of the time, it's either swinging to the supply side or the demand side. And it's beginning to swing to the supply side now, but not very far. We're seeing good absorption so far. You know, selfishly, when you see lots of inventory starting to come on, you start going, whoa, let's don't create another, you know, another bubble. But the rebound in Ada County, we've seen prices come back really very fast. And frankly, that's helping us in Canyon County a little bit because we've got a little more measured increase in valuations there. But, yeah, it concerns me because we can overextend again, and we're right back where we were.
Well, and that's the message to everybody listening. Just say no, don't overextend. Mayor Evans, always a pleasure. You stay out of trouble now.
I'll do my best.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Live in KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's go live to Steve Taylor, Fox News Radio, with the very latest concerning the killings in Afghanistan. Steve, good morning.
I'm sorry, here I am. Yes, I'm fine. How are you doing?
Great. Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO.
Kevin, I had a button pushed here that shouldn't have been pushed.
It happens, brother, and we just love you so much. We're just going to keep rolling. And obviously, you've been covering these killings in Afghanistan, this general. What's the fallout been, sir?
We are. It's so interesting that there is a name for the shooter now. His name is Rafi Kula, according to an Associated Press source in Afghanistan who doesn't want his name publicized because he's not authorized to talk about it. And apparently, we had heard that he leaned out a window and just opened fire on a group of officers and others going by. It may be. Don't know if this is an organized thing or not. We don't know if he knew that he was shooting an American major general or if it was just a disgruntled and frustrated soldier, which we have seen this sort of thing before. We have a statement from the Taliban congratulating this fellow for taking these shots, but referring to him, the statement from the Taliban refers to him only as an Afghan soldier, doesn't name him, doesn't say that Taliban has any connection with this. On the other hand, there were two other attacks that took place in Afghanistan also yesterday. Neither of them involved American casualties. In one case, an Afghan police guard exchanged fire with NATO troops. He was killed. Nobody else was. And in the third case, an Afghan police officer, killed seven of his colleagues, took their weapons, and drove off in their police car. So he's at large. The other two are dead. We don't have a straight answer at this point, Kevin, about whether there was anybody behind it other than the shooters.
Well, Steve, there must be a fear, though, that we're going to see this violence against U.S. forces, this green on blue, pick up as we determine if we're going to keep troops there. And, well, we'll just start with that. I'm sure a lot of folks are concerned that this could be the sign of more things to come.
Questions about that? Yes, you're right. There were questions about that at the Pentagon briefing yesterday. I expect the same thing will be the case today. Unlike 2 years ago when we were losing Americans to these sorts of attacks at a rate of better than one per week, there have been a lot fewer attacks, and there are many, many fewer Americans in country than there used to be. So the threat is still there, but it is not at the size it was, and it's not clear that this is an organized campaign. But if it is, then what do you do about it? Security things are already there, and one of the things that we have needed and have been trying to get out of the Afghanistan government for, we being the United States, for a year or more, is a security agreement involving the rights and responsibilities and legal obligations and legal exposure of the Americans in uniform who remain in country as trainers. The government has not been willing to sign an agreement on this, and the Pentagon and the White House have been saying without that, it's not clear that anybody will remain there because we can't expose our soldiers to, for instance, being put on trial for murder when what they've been involved in is a firefight, clearly the military in nature. That's not resolved.
Well, yes, the status of forces agreement, and I guess they're waiting for the new president because Mr. Karzai doesn't want to do it, but the two leading candidates do support the extension of a status forces agreement, which would allow our troops not to be prosecuted. But again, a lot is at play here in Afghanistan.
That's true. And the before we can actually draw the lessons we need to from what happened yesterday, a terrible thing, but we don't know exactly what was behind it. And if somebody were to say, well, this was a routine act by one soldier, I'm not sure there are policy implications for this, Kevin. It might just be, I mean, I don't want to dismiss this in the slightest, but people getting shot is a cost of war, and it's still a war zone.
Steve Taylor with us, Fox News Radio, 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. The big news, and look, as you know, every life is important, but this is the first time we've had such a high-ranking general be killed since Vietnam.
In combat in Vietnam, that's right. There was a three-star who was killed on 9/11 in the Pentagon. I suppose you could consider that combat, but the Pentagon doesn't. They draw the distinction you just made. Major General Harold Green, who'd only been in Afghanistan since January, but from all accounts is doing a fine job. Whether the gunman was targeting him or is not clear. Remember, there was also a German general and two Afghan generals in the same group, both of them wounded. General Green's body, last we heard, it was being prepared for transport back to the United States. I understand that it will arrive at Dover Air Force Base in the early morning hours, in the middle of the night, really. So probably hasn't left Afghanistan yet. But when the general's remains come back to U.S. soil, then it'll be moved on to wherever he's going to be buried. And I couldn't tell you that at this point.
Well, no worries, Steve. Final thought here at 580 KIDO is the idea that, security for bird colonels or higher with generals might have to be looked at. They're usually supposed to have their security details, so I'm sure, and again, a little too early to diagnose what actually happened, security for officers and other folks, other U.S. personnel will be upped and looked at to try and avoid these things.
If possible, but how much do you want to isolate a general? This is in all warfare, there is this tension between if the general is too isolated, then he or she can't be meaningfully commanding troops. And this was not in a forward zone. This was in a secure base, but the security, in part, comes from Afghan troops. And if one of them decides to go rogue, what is the defense against that? I don't know.
Steve Taylor, a lot of questions, great answers. We always appreciate it, sir.
Good to be with you, Kevin.
Take care.
Bye.
But we'll go to Fox News Radio, Simon Owen, with the latest on this comment. But before that, Simon, I always love, like, you always like to listen, so I thought we would take Dan first and just give you a little taste of what we do here each and every morning.
Morning, Kevin. Yeah, I must admit, I'm torn across a feed from the European Space Station and your output at the moment, so I can't comment too much.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about this comet and how big of an event it is. Could we see a revival of just people going into space and getting more involved with this lately?
Well, I mean, this is a project that was commissioned well over a decade ago, and it began a year ago, so it began 10 years ago, so it's not actually anything new. This is an attempt to, for the first time, put a space probe into orbit around a comet. And it began in early 2004, and they reached that target today, after 10 years and a few months. This is a comet traveling at 34,000 miles an hour. It's called 67P, excuse me. And the space probe Rosetta tracked it down earlier today somewhere between Mars and Jupiter. So it will now orbit this comet, this lump of dust and ice, for around 3 months, and then it will try and land on it. But it is groundbreaking just to get to the stage of orbiting it. Never happened before. And they hope that what this will lead to is scientists being able to uncover a bit more about the origins and evolution of the solar system.
Well, when we take a look at that, I'm just trying to figure out how you actually grab a comet, but we'll see if the expense pays off. Now, is this an international effort, or is this something that one country is focused on?
Well, it's headed up by the European Space Agency, so this is its project. It has that input from other agencies, NASA among them, but this is very much a European project. And, you know, as these things go, they will nail their colors to the mast and go after certain efforts, and you hear about them after a few years of work, and right now this is Europe's.
Well, you wonder what they're hoping to learn from this. And, you know, usually it's Russia or America or now China. It's great that the European Union is jumping into this as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have the resources. It's the space agency is in Germany, and it has staff from all over the place, all over the world, that work there. And it's this is a $1.7 billion project. It is one of the most high profile that the European Space Agency has done. The catch that they have is, well, just like NASA sees, they need money from governments, and they have to lobby governments for their cash. They have got a budget coming up later this year, and Europe has been through a rocky few years in terms of finances, and space exploration is one of the things that will be among the things that really start to suffer when governments start to feel the pinch and have to cut back. But a success like this, and it does seem that this has been a success after some tense final moments this morning, will do them no harm at all when it comes to going to lawmakers cap in hand and asking for some cash.
Well, Simon, we'll be anxious to see how it all works out. Thank you for your time and your patience.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Simon Owen joining us from Fox News Radio. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller wondering the eternal question, can a man really look good in a bow tie? Dave Burnett, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
I'm just looking at these A.J. Belukoff photos, and he doesn't have, like, the clip-on bow tie. He's actually got a real-life bow tie in his ads. What do you make of it?
You know, I've never been a big fan of the bow tie, Kevin. I've really been a big fan. There's a guy on CBS Sunday morning show.
Charles Osgood.
Wears a bow tie.
Charles Osgood.
Yeah, and he pulls it off okay, but for the most part, guys wearing bow ties, I just don't really care for it.
Remember Tucker Carlson, who's doing some stuff for Fox now, he mm-hmm. was of the bow tie.
Yeah, yeah. What's the guy's, I can't think of, Charles Krauthammer, he would look really goofy in a bow tie, because he kind of looks like a puppet already. Stick him in a bow tie, he'd really look goofy.
Well, you have a lot of people that love the bow tie, I guess.
I guess, it still sticks around.
It does. Speaking of which, a couple things going on. You know this New York Giants kid, I don't know if you just saw it on Fox News a minute ago, who gave an emotional speech about he lived his dream, and now he's moving on at 22. He hurt his neck. It got fused, so all of a sudden now he has to give up playing professional football.
Mm-hmm.
And, everybody's making a big deal about it, and, oh, isn't this great? Look, we all lose our dreams. You know, kids, here's the skinny. Don't dream. Don't dream, because you're only going to be disappointed. You need to follow the great example of Kevin Miller, and that's to be a pessimist, because then you're never disappointed. The glass is always half
empty.
Aren't
you disappointed when good things happen, though? Because typically when good things happen, then you really get grumpy, and then you're kind of really disappointed.
You know, that's a very good point, because when good things happen to me, I always go, no, there's something more to it.
Sure. It's like, here, Kevin, here's a free box of blueberries. What's wrong with them?
In other words, you're going to take them away from me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we got that going. Okay.
From bow ties to blueberries.
Well, no, this is why you will never hear anything similar to this anywhere else. But back to the idea of living the dream. I mean, okay, 22 years old, I get it. He's not going to play in the NFL anymore. But there are a lot of people that lose their dreams. And to get a little serious here for a minute, at 580KIDO, I mean, you take a look at all the people in the military that have been hurt or injured or first responders. And, you know, they don't get near as the attention that this guy does.
Nope, they don't. But they're not on the national platform.
Yep, true.
That he is. So, you know, and it is sad to see somebody's dream crushed. Whether they're hoping to be a police officer or whether they're hoping to be an NFL player, it is sad to see a dream crushed.
Right.
Or whether they're hoping to be a talk show host, sad to see that dream crushed.
Yes. Yeah, my dream's been crushed many times.
Oh, sure. We're like a big bowl of grapes. It's been crushed over and over.
There you exactly.
Speaking of the NFL, I'm excited.
Why is that?
Tonight,
mm-hmm.
Seattle, Denver, rematch of the Super Bowl. Mind you, other than for the first two series of plays, it'll be all different characters. But somehow I think Seattle's going to want to win this. Denver's going to want to make a message here. I mean, come on. They got their tail kicked back in February.
As a person that loves the New England Patriots and admires Coach Belichick, you do remember I said, I'm glad they lost to Denver. Denver goes, oh, it's a changing of the guard. I go, I don't think there's anybody that could beat Seattle.
And they didn't. I thought Denver would at least hold up and play a good game, but no. By the way, what's their name? The Patriots? Have they won a game since they were busted for cheating? Have they won a championship or anything since they were busted for cheating?
You know the answer to that.
No, they have not.
You know the answer to that.
I know. I was setting you up.
Yep. You would be correct on that one.
Hmm. Don't they have guys in jail for killing people?
Well, not proven yet.
It's not? Why is he in jail then? He should be on the street free.
He's been charged. He's tried to get some...
He's been charged. He's been convicted. He's in prison.
Well, no, he hasn't been convicted.
He hasn't had a trial?
Nope. No, the trial's just starting. By the way, our friend Ed Klein's on Fox News right now.
Hmm.
We had him first. Very exciting. But anyway, no, he hasn't been convicted. He's been charged a few times, but the trial hasn't started.
I thought they already had a trial and convicted that guy. I am sorry.
Well.
Allegedly. I am so sorry. He's probably a great guy.
He's been charged.
Hmm.
Speaking of which, going back to the games tonight, anything else? Isn't it amazing how the state of Ohio, particularly Cleveland, has become relevant again?
Well, LeBron James, the skinnier, I might add, the skinny LeBron James, has brought that to light. I don't think you'll see Johnny Manziel start tonight. I think you'll see him start the second game, though.
Well, but you still, Johnny Manziel, everybody, you know, nobody cared about the Browns before he got there.
only Dustin, their political correspondent. He's the only one.
Right. But, you know, you go to the Cleveland and, you know, everybody's coming to Cleveland to play for the Cavaliers and Johnny Manziel this. And you just see the coverage. Well, Johnny's going to play and blah, blah, blah. And you're thinking, is it really that necessary to give us all these updates?
Well, you know, they got a product to sell, so they're trying to sell it.
Hmm.
Bottom line, they got a product they have to sell. So it's all about marketing, all about, you know, product placement.
Marketing, product placement.
Branding. Yeah.
Distribution.
Yeah, so I'm excited, though. I'm kind of anxious to watch that game.
Well, you're a big Denver guy.
Not a big Denver guy, but I appreciate Peyton Manning and what he does. And Ryan Clady, I've had a relationship with him, you know, albeit at arm's distance. And he's got really long arms, you know, but following his career. Now you got Matt Paradis, a former Boise State Bronco, who's going to be playing center for them tonight. So I'm kind of interested to watch that.
Now, don't get mad at me for saying this, but how do you respond to the critics of Peyton Manning? Since you are a fan of Peyton Manning and you've seen him in person and the like.
The critics as far as what criticism?
That he, you know, goes to, you know, gets to the big game. He has a losing playoff record. He is great in the regular season, but when it really matters, he comes up short. Now, that's not me saying it. That's
the national pundits say it. I would just say this, and it does happen, but again, not everybody wins the championship.
True. But I don't think anybody could have beaten Seattle last year.
No, they were on a mission. They were on a mission last year. So, no, you know, as far as critics go, yeah, he has had a tendency to do that, fall just short when it really matters. But, you know, could be worse. His name could be Tony Romo.
Well, and that's the other thing. I think the Cowboys made a mistake by not drafting Manziel.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a good ticket draw for him, too.
Wouldn't it be nice, though, to work for somebody like Jerry Jones if you're Tony Romo, because the boss is loyal to you no matter what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is very loyal. I mean, Orlando Scandrick, former Boise State Bronco, has held in there at times where I think other teams would have cut him.
Right.
And he is held in there and still vying for a starting position.
Yep.
But anyway.
It would be nice. So we've got that going on, 548, 580 KIDO.
You know, I thought of you for something. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought of you for something, though, when I was What's watching that? The news last night. I was thinking, and this goes right back to, you know, your pessimistic attitude. I was thinking this would be the perfect time that, you know, I'm always nagging you to get out, go somewhere, see something, do something. I was thinking this would probably be the time that you would have had a trip to Hawaii booked.
I like the rain.
Could you imagine if you had saved up all your life, had booked your trip to Hawaii, ready to arrive there today, and you got two hurricanes bearing down on you? That would be the worst.
You really can't, you know, when the hurricanes hit the mainland, you know, you have these hurricane chasers that have these special vehicles. You can't really don't have that in Hawaii because they'll blow off into the ocean.
Oh, yeah. But it looks like these two are just going to hit the Big Island and Maui. One, two, just hit them hard. It would just be bad. And I was thinking, it would be Kevin Miller. This would be the time he'd be proud. He'd venture out taking his trip to Hawaii, and this would be the weekend you'd be headed there.
Well, it'd be like that Alanis Morris song, It's Rain on Your Wedding Day.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we've got that going on. Other news of the day, we've got a lawsuit involving Facebook. Apparently a lot of people complaining about the lack of privacy. Do we really have privacy?
No. No, we don't. Mm. I mean, how many times were you on camera this morning coming to work? I can think of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times I could have seen you on camera on your way into work this morning.
Wow.
I know. No privacy there for you. And that doesn't count the other security cameras that I don't have access to.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you drive by a Jackson's. I got news for you. Their security cameras see your car drive by.
Right.
They got a train out of the parking lot. So every convenience store you go by, your car's on the cameras.
Right.
Home Depot, you drive by there, guess what? Your car's on the cameras. So you really, you think about it, on your way into work, your vehicle and or you are on camera. We have the, you know, we have the county traffic cameras, which I'm looking up at right now. And I see cars, I see people going, yes, thanks for waving, appreciate that. You know, you're on camera all the time. You go into the stores, you're on camera. You go into the bank, you're on camera. You come into the building here, you're on camera. Do you have any privacy, Kevin?
Well, I have privacy in my home. There's no cameras there.
Allegedly.
That's why I have the blinds drawn. And that's why I don't like to go out. That's why I like to just... You know, live. And as a matter of fact, if I had my way, I'd go somewhere like Middleton or wherever and get a compound. And if I had any work ethic, I would start digging under my house and build some tunnels.
We'll just call you Hamas.
Exactly. And not to really make light of that situation, but and who are we yapping about? Oh, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, where we were talking about the lack of privacy in America today.
Well,
and he said in the Constitution, there's no right to privacy per se the word. And I'm going, yeah, but it's implied, inferred, whatever you want to say.
Well, I mean, how bad is it that I've had an oven die on me this week? And so we were online looking at ovens.
Does anybody cook anymore, really?
No, we do. And so when...
You got a grill.
When I open up Facebook, look what pops up all the time now. Ads for ovens. How does that work?
Well... One of the I think it was the one of the best movies ever, and people laughed at me, and you'll probably laugh at me now, but it was a Minority Report where they had those ads pop up based on your preferences.
Oh, I don't. It's real now. You know, you drive by a mall, certain phone carriers, you start getting texts from stores in a mall.
Right.
When you drive near there, That's a lot of privacy.
Hmm.
But well, no, there's no privacy anymore.
Yeah, I think I have a clip that we're going to be sharing throughout the day. Let me see if I can get it going here.
Transportation, but the bottom line is that until men, leaders, women, until we value women and girls, we won't tackle those other problems. Until we prioritize our girls and understand that they are as important and their education is as important as the education of our sons, then we will have lots
better.
Of work to do. I want young men around the world to understand that they have a role to play alongside of women who are fighting for these rights.
Alongside.
And I want our young men to understand this at an early age. So.
We're making sure that women have the opportunity to be involved in the economic life of their country, because only countries where all people are involved can be successful. When we look around the world and we see countries where half of the population is marginalized.
All right, that's the First Lady Laura Bush, Michelle Obama. I have a clip that I'll be playing coming up where the First Lady says that women are smarter than men.
Could be. That could be true.
But do you really buy this? I mean,
yep.
Let me hit you with this real quick, real quick. Is it our place to tell the Saudis or the Japanese or the Chinese how to behave when it comes to their own family life?
Probably not culturally, but I do think having lived in a foreign country where women are suppressed, I think it's important to make a statement to them, yes. I don't think you can make them do it, but I think it's important you make a statement.
But if that's your culture, won't you resent you trying to tell me how to live my life?
I believe that some people attempt to have us live our life by lopping our heads off, so it happens both ways.
What?
What?
Not here, but I'm just saying, I think that, look, we don't have to agree. We don't have to sit there and, you know, impose our views. Remember that book, The Ugly American, where we impose our views on others?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they're doing?
We should have started this conversation back at 5:30.
Should have started a lot of things at 5:30.
Because having lived in a foreign country, I've got a lot of opinions on that.
Oh, my gosh. Are you going to say that again? You
what?
Lived in a foreign country.
Having lived in a foreign country, I have a lot of opinions.
How many
on
times
that.
Can you say that? Can you rival me with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law?
Yep. Traffic now, Kevin.